you'll find an authorized version of the Holy Scriptures in the pew before you. Pick it up and turn with me to the New Testament, to the second chapter of the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Reading at verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That word slip in the Greek text is drift. We're living in a day of drifting, a day when the anchors are up and we're a prey to the storms of men. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou makest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Ending our reading at verse 9, and God will bless his eternal word to our hearts in the Savior's precious name. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. The second chapter of the book of Hebrews. I'm speaking on the subject, the question that cannot be answered. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There can be no escape. There can be no answer to this question, because none can escape who have neglected so great salvation. The book of Hebrews is an extraordinary book. It deals with the deep things of God. And if you read the first words and texts of chapter 2, you'll find five things. You'll find God's angels in their ministry and mystery. In chapter 2, verse 2. We have also God's law in its recompense and reward. Chapter 2 and 2. We have also God's salvation in its neglect and no escape. We also have God's order in the old dispensation and now in the new dispensation of the gospel. And finally, we have God's gospel spoken by the Lord himself and confirmed with signs by those who heard it. Every soul in our service tonight has a very heavy responsibility. It is a responsibility of facing the great eternity. We are not here forever. We are just passing through. We don't know what a day will bring forth. We have a responsibility to face up to the burning issues of eternity that is to come. No one can shoulder those responsibilities for you. You have to face them for yourself. You must face up to the challenge. Who will rule over you? The devil or our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? The line of demarcation must be drawn. And on what side of that line will you be standing? You need to honestly face up to that and confess where you stand in relationship to the great challenge of your allegiance. Is it going to be to the devil, or is it going to be to Christ himself? Remember Achan. He had to face up to that line of demarcation. And although he was an Israelite, and though he was part of the camp of Israel, and although he was a member of one of the Israelites' tribes, he made a choice. He disobeyed God. He put out his hand and took of the accursed thing. And by capital punishment, he received his death and went out into eternity. What about Demas? He was a companion of the great apostle Paul. He too had to decide on this challenge. The devil put before him love for the present evil world. And although he had excelled in evangelism with the great apostle Paul, he made a fatal choice. He turned his back on the Savior. He left his evangelistic labors because he loved this present evil world. And what about Judas, the betrayer of the Son of God? He held out his hand. He seized the 30 pieces of silver. plunged himself into spiritual bankruptcy and a suicide grave and a suicide hell. You can't escape not answering this question. On what side of the line of demarcation do you stand? You remember Ananias and Sapphira. You remember how they suffered the tensions of eternal loss by lying about a gift that they were supposed to make to the Lord's work. Could I say to you, there are many things that point the finger at us all. Every time we hear the gospel, we either add to our guilt or have it removed through the cleansing of the Savior's blood. Every time we attend the house of prayer and hear the gospel invitations, we either respond to those invitations or reject them. Every time we place our hand upon the Holy Scriptures and read the words of divine inspiration and eternal truth, we bring upon ourselves solemn responsibility, a responsibility to our immortal souls. All of these things witness against us if we reject the Son of God. Many Christian ministers, many true men of God, and many Christian friends have exhorted you, dear sinner friend, to seek the Lord while he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near. But you have stubbornly rejected the invitation. Now, it is not possible for any true preacher of the gospel to pare down the sharp, pointed word of God. God's word must be preached in the bluntness and honesty in which it is written. Woe is unto me if I keep back from any congregation I face the truth of God's word. It is my duty to testify to your duty as an immortal soul in relationship to Christ, your attitude to Christ, your attitude to his death, and your attitude to eternity. Eternity, eternity, where will you be in eternity? The hymn writer said, 'Tis not the care import, the preacher's prayer or demand, but what might fill the angel's heart as it filled a Savior's hand? They watch for souls for which the Lord did heavenly bliss forego, for souls that must forever live in the raptures of heaven or in the woes of hell. One is saved here, another is lost here. One confesses Christ here, another turns their back on Christ. And often as we see the smallness of the numbers who profess faith in Christ, we ask, what are these among so many? Oh, for an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Oh, for the crack of the thunder of God once again with power in our land. Oh, for a turning to Christ. Oh, that God would open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. There would not be room enough to receive it. I must say to you tonight, dear sinner friend, here we have this great unanswerable question. And you must answer it. And you will answer it. And you will register yourself for Christ or against Christ ere you withdraw from this meeting place tonight. Everlasting calls go out to the souls of men and warn them of everlasting punishment. The law of life, life that's hid with Christ in God, demands submission to the commandments of God and obedience to the ways of God and a swearing of allegiance to God's Christ. Your face tonight is either towards hell or towards heaven. You either walk the path of Christ's rejection or you walk the path of Christ's acceptance. If you break the law, then you will be punished. A man who neglects the laws of health brings on sickness to his body. A person who rejects the law of education grows up to be a fool. A person who neglects his own heart punishes his soul not only for time but for eternity. Neglect is the prime minister of death. One old time preacher preaching the gospel had this to say. One day, hell organized a meeting of all the forces of evil, and the demons under the command of Satan himself to find new ways to hasten people to the damnation of hell. One devil addressing this conclave of the pit said, I am going to declare to mankind there is no God. I'm going to declare that death is eternal sleep. I'm going to declare there's no truth. There's no future. There's no heaven. There's no hell. And when he said that, the devils all rejoiced with him. And Satan himself sent him forth to declare his atheistical gospel. But suddenly a trumpet sounded from heaven. And the trumpet echoed and re-echoed this truth. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Another devil stood up and he said, I will go out and preach the modern gospel. I will tell men and women and boys and girls, they will never burn in hell. God loves them so much that he couldn't in any way suffer any of his creatures to be damned. But alas, denials don't destroy. You can deny everything, but everything that is truth will stand fast forever. And when the devil made that proposition, there was triumph again and rejoicing among the devils in hell. And Satan himself told his slave to go and preach that gospel. But again the trumpet from heaven was sounded. And it sounded this text: who is a liar but him that denieth Jesus is the Christ? And if Jesus is the Christ, his word is true, and there is a heaven to be gained, and there is a hell to be shunned. But no one among all the devils in hell really believed at the atheistical gospel, or the modernist gospel would bring people more quickly to the pit. But another devil arose and he said, I have a much better plan, a much better scheme, a much better program. I want to tell men that the Bible is true. I want to tell them that heaven is sure and hell is sure. I want to tell them that everything that the Bible says and the gospel says is the eternal truth of God. But I want to tell them there is plenty of time. They can enjoy their sin. They can indulge their lusts. They have plenty of time. I say, this devil affirmed, that if we only get men to neglect God's salvation, then we will hasten them down so quickly to the pit that they will wake in the depths of the caverns of the damned. The devils rejoiced, and Satan said, this is a good message. Go and declare it to the confusion of sinners. But the trumpet sounded again. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape? There is no escape. This and every message from the pit, having the devil's benediction upon it, will bring you to hell and to the remotest place in the lostness of the darkness that cannot be lightened and imprisonment that can never end. Oh, my friend, let me say to you tonight, if you go on in the way you have been traveling, rejecting Jesus Christ, one day you will make another confession. It will be the same confession as the rich man in hell. I am tormented in this flame. How long will that torment last? It'll last until the tombstone of God Almighty is erected, and then it will end. But God will never die. tombstone of God will never be erected. So poor lost sinners will be in hell forever. The hell described by the blessed, loving Christ of God. Hell is no grave because it has no ending. Its fires burn forevermore. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen to the word forever. I examine every cell door in the great prison house of hell, and I find that word forever written on every cell door. It is forever. The chains of hell are stamped with the word forever. The wall of the pit has the word forever seared into it. Unbreakable walls. God has locked up lost souls, and having locked them up, has thrown away the key into the great ocean of eternity. That key will never be found, and those doors will never be unlocked. That's why there is no escape from hell. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You will never escape. Let me put to you the question of an old time gospel hymn. Why wilt thou linger? Why wilt thou die? God's wrath upon thee, judgment so nigh. Now is salvation's day. Tread the blood-sprinkled way. Sinner, no more delay. Jesus will come. Soon will the Savior close fast the door. Tidings of mercy will sound nevermore. Time's course will soon be run. Stay them now, Christ is won. Think of the great white throne. Judgment will fall. Then the dread sentence, depart from me. Room for repentance, gone and gone forever. Endless the sinner's doom, darkness and dismal gloom. Now in God's house there's room. Jesus will see you. Dear hearer, tonight you can close with Christ. Tonight you can be saved from your sins, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And tonight you can be given a birthright in the heaven of heavens. Be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. Before you leave your pew tonight, lift your heart in the quietness of the moments that are remaining of this service, and ask Jesus Christ, the only Savior of men and women and the only Savior from hell, for he himself has tasted hell for all that put their trust in him. Oh, my friend, tonight, call upon him. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God grant that you will call and you will be saved. And never will you be in hell, but when the day comes for you to cross the River Jordan, you will go to the Father's house, there to sing the praises of the Lamb who saved you from hell by his atoning blood and his death for sinners on the cross. May this be your experience for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We pray that thou wouldst write it upon every heart, and we pray that men and women and boys and girls this night may put their trust in Jesus Christ. Save men and women from the darkness that never dies and from the torments that never stop. Why should they die when thou hast died for them? O Lord, draw them to yourself. May the blood be applied, and may salvation be their portion for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen.